The book of Joshua, please. Joshua chapter 1 tonight, as we come to our time and study of God's Word. Joshua chapter 1. For the past couple weeks, we have been going through a short study on how to deal with the issue of disappointments. All of us know too well the reality of those days of disappointment. We have been confronted with circumstances that do not meet our expectations. We are confounded by people who let us down because they did not live up to the expectations that we had set for them. We stand confused as we stand over a pile of broken pieces of our dreams, realizing that they will never be able to be put back together again. We have days where we face and deal with disappointment. The question for us is, how do we respond to those days that we're overrun with disappointment? No doubt most of us here this evening would want to be able to say that when disappointments come, we want to do that which is right. We want to maintain a proper testimony in the days of struggle and in days of doubt. Yet so often, instead of moving forward in courage, we tend to cower, regressing back into the dark corner of our selfishness as we seek to protect our broken hearts. So how do you and I find courage in the days of our doubt? How do we deal well with those days of discouragement, days of disappointment? That's really the thought that we want to consider tonight as we come to the book of Joshua and chapter 1. I want you to follow along as I read the first 9 verses. These are familiar verses to us. It's not a new study for us, but truths of which we must be reminded of as we seek to have courage in days of doubt. Notice what it says, please, beginning Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of thy foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I spake unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, and that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Pray with me, please. Our Father, tonight, we ask that as we come to the passage of Scripture before us, you would cause us to be able to walk courageously in days of doubt as we deal with disappointments and hardships and heartaches. Father, we all have them. There are days in which we struggle to find the right perspective, struggle to find peace and find joy, because our heart is broken, the disappointments settle in, we allow our mind to focus on things which are not true, which are not lovely, not of a good report, of no virtue and of no praise. So, Father, I pray that you would cause us to focus now upon your word and the exhortation that is given to us as it was once given to Joshua in days of his doubt. So Lord, we ask and pray your understanding this night. In Jesus' name, amen. The word doubt and the word fear. Those two words will always be the part of the vocabulary of fallen men. In our flesh, there are days of adversity, days of disappointment. Those days bring upon us doubts. They bring to us fear. This is true of even the choicest of God's servants. Joshua is one of the great servants of the Old Testament. He is a great leader of the people of Israel. Perhaps in many ways we don't think much about Joshua in the way that we think of Moses, and yet the reality is that Joshua was as great a leader as Moses was. He was one that was able to be the minister, the assistant to Moses for all those years. As he wandered in the wilderness, as he stood by Moses, as he heard the complaints. And now he is the one who takes another generation into the promised land. He will conquer that land, divide that land, and give it to an inheritance to those people. And in all the years of Joshua's life, he is found faithful. A great and wonderful servant of God. But you realize that Joshua struggled with doubts and was overcome with fear. In fact, when you and I come to really the first couple verses of chapter 1 of the book that bears his name, we see that which caused him to have those fears and had him cause those doubts. And so we read, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying," imagine getting these words, "Moses, my servant, is dead. And Joshua, I put you in charge. Arise, take this people and cross over Jordan. Enter into the land that I have promised to my people, Israel. Possess what your generation and the generation before refused to possess. Go conquer the land." Say, "Pastor, how do you know that he was scared? How do you know he was filled with fear?" You notice that three times in verses 6 through 9, God said, "Be strong and of a good courage." No doubt, folks, if you're Joshua, there has to be some apprehension. There has to be some fear. There has to be some doubt. Can I lead these people when Moses couldn't? Will it really be possible for us to go in and conquer the land? Or will they quit? Will they turn? Will they leave? Will they go back? What assurances do we have? How can I know that it's safe for me to rise up and take these people over Jordan? Will they come with me? They wouldn't follow Moses. What makes you think, Lord, they'd follow me? Imagine the fear that could have easily overcome him to be the new leader of the nation of Israel. Again, his calling involving doing what Israel's greatest leader, Moses, was unable to do 40 years prior, to possess the land of promise. Fear and doubt could have easily overtaken him, as it can for us in days of service for the Lord. But because of the principles that God gives to Joshua in chapter 1, he is given that which is necessary to arise and take this great people over the river Jordan and enter into the land of promise and there divide it, to conquer it, and to give it as their inheritance. And folks, when you come to the end of this book that bears his name, that's exactly what Joshua has done. Days of victory, yes, days of defeat, but in the end, they conquered. Folks, when you come to the book of Joshua, you put one word simply above the title of that book. That's the word victory. Victorious. Joshua was able to go forward even though there were fears and doubt. He led Israel courageously into the land to possess it. Folks, if you and I are going to have the victory in our days of disappointment, those disappointments that lead to our doubts, there's a need for you and I to find the courage that God gives to us through the principles found in Joshua chapter 1. We need the same courage Joshua had. Ralph Waldo Emerson once said, "Whatever you do, you need courage. Whatever course you decide upon, there is always someone to tell you that you are wrong. There are always difficulties arising that tempt you to believe your critics are right. To map out a course of action and follow it to the end requires some of the same courage that a soldier needs. Peace has its victories, but it takes brave men and women to win them." When disappointments cause us to doubt, you and I can either allow those doubts to bring us to despair, drive us to discouragement, causing us to retreat within ourselves, to become self-absorbed, or we can allow the principles of God's word to take hold within our heart and courageously move forward. Using the bumps along the way, the bumps of disappointment, to be the catalyst to cause us to climb higher for our God. As Joshua was brought face to face with his doubts, God three times exhorts Joshua to be courageous. And in each one of those exhortations, there is a principle that helps you and me face our doubts, face our disappointments, and that allows us to courageously go forward for God. But the choice of what we do in those days is up to you and to me. Again, the easy way, folks, is simply to cower, to become self-absorbed, and to be allowing the flood of discouragement to overcome us. And folks, we see that's the vast majority of response of people in our world today. But folks, if you and I are willing to allow the principles of God's word to be true, and they are true, and apply them to our hearts, and apply them to our lives, we don't have to be overrun by discouragement. We don't have to allow them to cause us to veer off from the path that God has and to miss out on the blessings, like an entire generation who feared the giants, even though God said, "The land is yours." With the evidence of the land flowing with milk and honey and all the provisions, the fear of conquering caused them to wander and die in a wilderness. God now comes to Joshua. Now that Moses is dead and it is now time for another generation to enter in, he comes and says, "Arise, take this people and go over the River Jordan." What are the principles to cause you and I to face our days of doubt? I want you to notice three of them with me. Again, each one focuses on the exhortation that God gives. The first one is found beginning in verse 3, ending with the exhortation to be strong and of a good courage. So read with me beginning in verse 3. God writes and says, and God tells Joshua, now that he is told to arise to go over Jordan, here's what we find beginning in verse 3. God says to Joshua, "Every place of the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, towards the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Here comes the exhortation. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. How do we face those days of doubt? How do we handle the fears when they creep in and cause us to be discouraged, to be disappointed? How do we courageously move forward? The first thing that you and I must recognize and understand is that the courage that we need to be victorious, to face our doubts and to face our disappointments, we'll first of all find that courage as we rest in the promises of God's word. Courage rests in the promises of God's word. When you and I come to verse 3, God has just come to Joshua and God has said to him, here's the command I give you. Moses, whom you have followed for so many years, his time on earth is ended. I've buried him. He's dead, and you're now the leader of Israel. Take this people over Jordan. You notice, please, what begins in verse 3? Right as you pick up, the first thing that God gives to Joshua, beginning in verse 3, are promises. You see those with me? Every place that the sole of thy foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto thee, as I said unto Moses. As he promised to be with Moses, so I promise to be with you. And throughout these verses, we find the promises of God's word. As God begins to deal with the doubts that Joshua has, and they were real, and could have led to great disappointment and discouragement, which could have caused him to turn back, God begins to reassure him through the promises of his word. How are you and I going to face those days of doubt? Those times of disappointment? When it's hard for us to think upon that which is lovely and that which is true and that which is a good report, because everything seems to be shattered all around us. How do we handle that properly? The courage that we need causes us to come back and rest in the promises of God's word. God gives to Joshua these promises. There are three basic promises that God gives to him. In verse 3, we find that there is the promise that God would go before, that he would give the victory. Every place that the sole of your foot treads, I give to you. That's a promise that God goes before us. And God is the one who will ultimately give the victory. In verse 5, and by the way, verse 4 gives the borders of what that place would be. Verse 5 gives another promise. In verse 5, we read that God would be with him perpetually. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. In verse 6, after the exhortation is given, we are told a promise that you will divide for an inheritance the land that I swear to your fathers. Joshua was told that God would give this place, this promised land, to the people of Israel. This land they would possess. It would be theirs. Again, the victory is assured. Imagine how comforting those promises are to Joshua when he's facing the doubts he's facing, when he's confronted with the fears that he's confronted with. God says to him, Joshua, I will go before you. Joshua, I will be with you. Joshua, I will give you the land. You will possess it. It's a guarantee. Now take this people over Jordan. How wonderful the promises God gives. And because Joshua believes the promises of God and rests in them, he arises and takes the people in to this land of promise. You say, well, Pastor, that's great for Joshua. How does that apply to me? Folks, do you realize that these very same promises have been reiterated throughout Scripture for all of God's people? Let me share some of them with you. In light of the promise of verse 3, where God says to Joshua that he will go before and give us the victory, would you consider with me the words found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57? But thanks be to God, which giveth us what? The victory. Definite, secured, not probable. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, do you realize that we are promised the victory of God in our lives, in our homes, in the church? The Lord Jesus said in the book of Matthew that the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. The church is a victorious church. Satan and all his forces cannot prevent the gospel from going forth. When God's word goes forth, it never returns void. Why? He has promised us the victory. Now, folks, that means that the victory comes in every aspect of your life and mine. It is possible for us to be victorious. Sin is conquered. Its effects are conquered. That means that it has an impact and you have victory in your home, in the rearing of your children, in your relationship with your spouse, in the conflicts that you face. God says there is victory for you. I've secured it through Jesus Christ. Is there any avenue of your life or my life where the gospel and the victory provided through Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary is unable to touch? Is there anything too hard for God? Is there any part that your life that the gospel cannot have its power to work in you and give you victory? And folks, if we understand the scripture, the answer is no. Christ has given us the full victory, and he's promised it to us in his word. Doesn't matter how bad the marriage is, it can be saved. There is victory. It's whether or not we choose to accept God's help and follow his principles. Doesn't matter how wayward the child is, even the prodigal came home. So whether or not we're willing to pray and do that which God calls us to do in the times while we wait. Folks, the reality is he has given to you and I the victory. Consider the promise of verse 5. God said that he would be with Joshua perpetually. And in those days, no man would be able to stand before him. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Consider the words found in the word of God in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. Why can I be content? Why do I not need to covet what everyone else has? Why do I not need to be focused on what they seem to have and I don't? What keeps me content? Associated, folks, with that is this promise. We can be content with such things as we have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, we're given this great commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded thee. What is the promise that is attached to that? Lo, I am with you most of the time when I'm available, if I'm not too busy, if you can get a hold of me, if I'm connected to the internet, it'll be okay. It's not what he says. Lo, I am with thee always. Folks, you know what that means? When I don't have the money for internet service and there's no one else around, no one for me to connect with, and I'm left all alone in this world, I'm still not alone as a child of God. Because he has promised to always be there with me. Consider the promise of verse 6. God said that he would allow his people to enter into this land and then to possess it. He would cause it to happen. Some of my favorite verses in Scripture are found in Psalm 37, verse 4 and 5. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Hear the certainty of those words? I'm not going to go into the depths of that, the language there, because sometimes those verses are misunderstood. But I want you to hear the certainty of it. Commit your way unto the Lord, trust also to him, and he shall bring his perfect will to pass in your life and mine. I think that's the concept there. When I delight myself in the Lord, he will direct my heart in the way that it ought to go. He will give me those desires and therefore gladly fulfill them. And I will accomplish his will. Not every wish and want that I have is met, but God's perfect will is fulfilled in me. Why? Because he has promised to do it. Think of some other verses that Scripture gives that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed in thee. If we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all the necessities of life will be added unto us. If we trust in the Lord with all of our heart and don't lean to our understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge him, he promises to direct our paths. We could sit here tonight and list countless other promises found in God's word. And it's those promises that you and I rest in for the courage to move forward. Sometimes we doubt. Is it possible? Could it be? What do I do? I'm not sure. Is that really what God wants me to do? Will he take care of me? Will he provide for me? Will he meet my needs? I'm sitting here suffering with disappointment. And the courage we need comes as we come back to God's word and say, I realize that God is not a liar. And what he says, he promises to fulfill. And even though my feelings don't match up with the truth found in the word of God, I'm going to line up with the word of God and have the courage to step out. God progressively taught his people how to have courage and follow him. Remember when Israel fled from Pharaoh? Brought to the brink of their destruction at the Red Sea. What did God say to Moses at that time? And what did Moses then say to the people? What did he say to do? Anybody remember? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. There was literally nothing the people had to do. Moses lifted up his rod and the Red Sea parted. And it was dry ground and over 3 million people entered in. And God said, now let Egypt come, and they followed in, and God said, thank you, and closed up the walls, and they stood on the other shore rejoicing and dancing for joy as they watched the bodies of the Egyptians come up on shore. God gave them the victory. You know what God's going to do to the people of Israel now as they come to the Jordan? By the way, the look at the Jordan River compared to the Red Sea is a whole lot different and doesn't seem quite as daunting. We're not talking about an ocean, we're talking about a river, but it's an overflowing river and the currents are moving quickly. And you know what God says to the people now, and what God, Joshua then commands the people to do? There are four who are bearing the Ark of the Covenant. And God said, have them walk into the Jordan. And when the last guy steps in, I'll stop the waters and you'll enter in on dry ground. Now, I don't know about you. It'd be easy to be Joshua in that one. Hey, guys, step on in. I'm telling you, God says he's going to do it. Imagine being the four guys. Imagine being the two guys on the front end. And yet God says, step in. What did he do? He stopped. Why? Because what God says, he does. He always fulfills his promise. How do I handle days of doubt? It starts as I come back to the Word of God and I rest in his promises. Be strong and of a good courage. Why? God's Word is true. Do you believe that? It'll help you through the days of doubt. It'll help you when you stand there disappointed. When you're disappointed at people, you're disappointed at events, and your dreams are dashed and can't be put back together again. The Word of God stands true. Courage is found as we rest in the promises of God's Word. You and I have to be willing to take God at his word, to accept the scriptures to be true, and then apply them to our circumstance, to our life. Now look with me at verse 7 and 8. We need to move quickly tonight. Verse 7 and 8. Again, here comes another exhortation. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all of the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So again, we find the second of these exhortations, be strong and of a good courage. What's associated it with here? In the first, it's associated with the promises of God. Courage rests in the promises of God's word. What's associated in verse 7 and 8 is our obedience to God's word. And our courage then reigns when we obey God's word. I don't know about you, but I remember being a child. There was always confidence when I obeyed. I didn't cower from mom and dad when they walked in the door when I was obedient, right? I was happy to see them. When they went away and I disobeyed, I wanted to be in bed early. I wanted to be asleep. I wanted to not meet them at the door. Why? Because there's no confidence when I've been disobedient. Folks, do you realize that the courage that you and I need to face the days of our disappointment, the days of our doubts and our fear, will reign within your heart when we obey God's word? And that's what God says to Joshua. Don't just understand that the promises are there, but allow yourself to do all that is written therein. Observe to do according to the law. Live and obey the truth. Courage and confidence to progress and to press on in the days of our disappointment and the days of our doubt come when we're willing to obey God's word. So here in Joshua 1, we're reminded about our obedience to God. I want you to note a couple things about this. First of all, would you note the parts of our obedience? What's it mean to obey? The first thing that God says to Joshua is that we are to observe to do. The first thing required for us in order for us to be obedient is we must learn to observe all that is written in the Word of God. If we're going to obey God's word, then we must take the time to observe the truth that's been given to us. What's that require? Well, 2 Timothy 2 says that we must study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen who need not to be ashamed, able to rightly divide the word of truth. We're going to have to study it. The Lord Jesus told his disciples, search the scripture. There's a need for you and I to be familiar with what the Word of God has to say. If you and I are not reading it, if we're not studying it, if we're not searching it out, then we don't know whether or not we're obeying His Word or not. We have to observe all that is written therein, and then we're told, don't turn from it. Not to the right hand, not to the left. We're not to veer from the path. We are to remain straight. Moses gave to Joshua the law. He had seen it with his own eyes. And folks, God had promised to fulfill it. And as the leader of that nation, he had to ensure that neither he nor that nation would turn from God's word. Don't turn from it. You want courage to be able to face the days of doubt and deal with disappointments? And folks, when we come to God's word, we can't say, I understand that's what the Bible says, but I've chosen a different path. I want to try this instead. Folks, you realize that when we face disappointments, when people hurt us or harm us, again, our tendency is not to stand by courage. It's to cower in selfishness, to lick our wounds, and take care of our broken hearts. That's my tendency. That's your tendency. What that means is when I'm hurting, I don't want to be with other people. I don't want to come to church. I don't want to spend time with those people that hurt me. I don't want to go to a community group and share my feelings and say what I think this means or somehow apply this to my life. I kind of want to get out from underneath of it all. And yet the Word of God says that we ought not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some are is. But we ought to do so all the more as we see the days approaching. I don't want to come to God's word. I don't want to sometimes find the answer that God has for me. I want to live in my self-pity. But yet I can't forsake his word. And I can't forsake what it says. And folks, the reality is this. When I'm hurt, when I'm disappointed, and I face days like Job, I need to act like Job. And not curse God and blame him for the things going on within my life. And yet so often it's so easy for me to forget the promises that he has said, that I will be with you, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, I have given you the victory, and we blame our God foolishly. Because we're hurt, we're disappointed, we're discouraged. And the way that we conquer is to have the courage to believe God's word and have the courage to obey. And here's what God says. There is prosperity for those who obey. At the end of verse 7, we are told that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. He expands on that in verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. God promises a prosperity. I'm not talking about the prosperity gospel, folks. We're talking about victory. We're talking about his blessing. Even through the hardships, even through the difficulties, even through the doubts and the fears and the disappointments, God has promised to be with us, and we will prosper whithersoever we go. We may not understand all that God is requiring of us, but when we obey the word of God and we follow the Lord, we find the courage to press on. Now look at verse 9. Here's the final exhortation. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Why? For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Courage rests in the promises of God. It reigns in our obedience to God's word so that I can press on. Would you note with me in verse 9, the courage we need in days of doubt and days of fear rejoices in the presence of the Lord. Those who learn to rejoice in the presence of God are able to successfully navigate the days of doubt. God, in dealing with Joshua, reminds him of this precious truth. I am with thee. Two things I want you to see with me. First, verse 9 begins with the reiteration of the command. Have not I commanded you, be strong, be of a good courage. Hey, don't be afraid. And don't allow your life to be filled with dismay. There's the reiteration of the command. Ever wonder why God repeats himself? And why three times in such a short span? Folks, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful God repeats himself, that he gently reminds and encourages us in the right path. And to us, that ought to be considered such a precious thought. It's as if God is coming to Joshua and saying, now listen, I've already commanded you twice. Let me say it just one more time. I want to drive this point home. I don't want you to be afraid. I want you to be filled with courage, that you obey my voice and take this people over the River Jordan and possess the land. I want to do good unto you and unto my people. Be courageous. Don't doubt. Be courageous. Not afraid. I've given you my promises. I want you to obey. And all of that, folks, is really possible because I've learned to rejoice in the presence of God. God promises him, the Lord Jehovah, thy God, Elohim. The personal, powerful God of Israel is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So we see not only the reiteration, we see the reminder of his presence. There's no reason for us to be afraid. There's no reason for us to be filled with anxiety, to be overtaken with fear. Jehovah Elohim is near. The God who is the creator of all, the God who has revealed himself as the great I am, he is with you wherever you walk. Wherever your feet do tread upon this earth, he is with you wherever you go. The omnipotence of God goes before us. The omniscience of God leads us. And the omnipresence of God ever goes with us. And folks, there's great courage in that truth. I am with you. Folks, you realize that was enough for David when he faced Goliath. That was enough for Daniel when he entered into the lion's den. That was enough for the apostles when they stood before the Sanhedrin. And it's enough for you and me. In the days of our doubt, when our heart is disappointed, perhaps even broken, we can find courage to press on. not giving up, not giving in, but following our God to the end, because we have the promise that he is near. Ron Hamilton wrote, "How can I fear? Jesus is near. He ever watches over me." With that truth, worries all cease. Because of that, he gives me peace. I will never fear with Jesus. Beloved, when we face days of disappointment that cause us to doubt, when dreams are shattered and we're tempted to be afraid, let's learn the lessons that God shared with Joshua. The courage we need rests in his promises. The courage that we need to press on when we feel like we can't really reigns within our heart as I simply obey his word. And that courage that I need is there because I've learned to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. To let my moderation be known unto all men why the Lord is at hand. I'm anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with a heart filled with thanksgiving, I let my request be made known unto God, and he floods my heart with the peace that passes all understanding, that keeps my heart and keeps my mind through Christ Jesus, my Lord. I can be overcome by disappointment. I can be shattered by disappointments. I can quit, and I can allow my life to become shipwrecked because someone did something I didn't like. Something didn't meet my expectations. Or I can run to the Word of God and rest in His promises. I can run to the Word of God and obey its instructions. And I can run to it because I know that there I find the Savior. And I can, like Jacob, cling to him and say, "I will not let you go until you bless me." I can be utterly dependent on him. Joshua gets word, Moses is dead. Arise. Take this people, this difficult people, this people that's wandered, and a generation watched their parents say no to God, follow really bad examples. Take this people and go possess the land I'm given. And Joshua, I give you all that you need to be courageous. I give you my promises. I've given you my law. And I will be with you. And folks, that's more than enough. For whatever disappointment you have, for whatever heartache you're facing, God is more than enough. Father, we thank you for the time that we've had tonight, the opportunity to, again to look into your word, study it together, to be reminded of these great and wonderful principles found in the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Father, today we may not be called to lead a people into a new land and go through battles of the flesh and conquer cities and cast down walls. We may not be asked to be the military leader of 3 million people who are untrained soldiers, but we are asked to walk by faith and not by sight in a world that is overrun with wickedness, in a world that is vile. We're asked to serve within the church where people aren't always perfect. At times we disappoint. At times our expectations don't get met. And we become disheartened. We become discouraged. We're caused to doubt. We're caused to fear. And yet, Father, in those days, we ought to run to your word. We ought to trust in you to be strong and filled with courage. But Lord, when we reject your word, when we reject the God of that word and we seek to face our disappointments alone in our flesh, we fail. So help us, Lord, to keep a right perspective even as we've considered these last few weeks. Let us be strong in the Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's